Thank you for tuning in to the Nuance Podcast. I just want to say before we start this episode that I dedicate this episode to Darius Evertruly. That's right. My big brother, my favorite Leo, writer, actor, comedian extraordinaire, part-time rapper, skateboard P, one take Dizzle, Darius Evertruly. A lot of you know, but some of you may not know, that I lost my big brother October 27th, 2007, and I have been working towards healing myself, and my family has been working towards healing themselves after such a tragic loss. But I never forget that he will always protect and guide me. And this episode is all about self-love, all about finding your inner power and being able to sit with you. And this is something that has been and will probably always be very difficult for me. But I want to be able to publicly say his name, Darius Evertruly. Hug your siblings and never forget your ancestors will forever protect and guide you. Again, this episode is dedicated to Darius Evertruly. We're going to have a little moment of silence because Darius's birthday just passed and I want to honor him. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Nuance Podcast. If you want to know more about Darius, you can always Google him, Darius Evertruly. That's DarIusEvertruly. Forever repping North Memphis. All right. Welcome to the newest episode of the Nuance Podcast. Y'all should be proud of me. I'm out here just recording, okay? I'm out here interviewing, and I'm doing all of that for free. Why, you might ask? Because I can't get no sponsorship. Nah, for real, I want to make this episode accessible to anybody who wants to listen. Not only do I get an opportunity to speak my truth, you guys get an opportunity to reach out to me anytime you want to and say, hey, I think this would be good on the episode. Hey, I think you should say this. Oh, I didn't agree with that. And I love that interaction so much. And you know what I like better than that? People hit my Cash App. So if you want to donate to the Nuance Podcast, you can always donate at $AZTruly. That's $AZTruly, AZTRULY. Donate to the Nuance Podcast today. Y'all always talking about, ooh, I wish I could support black business. I wish that I could. Sometimes you can support with people who do not have things that are tangible. You understand what I'm saying? I'm coming up with the merch, okay? I'm working on it. But until then, you can always donate to keep the lights on, okay, friend? It ain't free to have a car so I can record this. The ghetto studio. So again, you can donate to the Nuance Podcast by hitting my Cash App. That's $AZTruly. Let's get the show started.
Guys, welcome back to the Nuance Podcast. Just to be completely transparent, me and Asia, my special guest, have tried to record this segment 111 times. but this time it's gonna be right. So Asia, my very special guest, hey. Thank you so much for joining me on the Nuance Podcast. I promise you, this is the last time I'm gonna ask you, please tell the people who you are. And what you do?
My name is Asia Lachey, and I'm a comedian, a TV writer, a musician, and I just do comedy things.
Yes, Asia does comedy things, and please believe that Asia Lachey is very, very humble. Like, I'm not gonna just like put all her business out on the streets, but I did do an intro for her prior to this. So if you want to know more about Asia, just like look her up. Like this is the type of chick you just Google her, period. like let's be for real. Also, Asia was one of the first people when I came to LA that was like, oh, why don't you just like be a part of this show that I wrote? Like, why don't you just like be on the stage with a bunch of like famous ass people that I know? So Asia's like, when I first like had reconnected with Asia, I was like, you're like Oprah, because she like really like when I was like struggling and like just really unsure about what I should be doing, Asia like really uplifted me. So not only is she talented mm-hmm. and humble, but she'd be looking out for Black women, period.
Period.
Black
women, only relevant people.
It's only funny because it's so true.
Like, I see a Black girl anywhere doing anything, I'm just give my money. Here you go.
Right. And I don't get no money, so I just start right. clapping because like quarters. That's my support.
All of it. Take it.
That's all I can do. Okay, so I do. Obviously, Asia is like insanely talented, but the reason why Asia is on this episode is because Asia lives alone during this pandemic. True. Ain't that right?
Very much.
Very much true. So, Asia, I'm going to go ahead and get into these questions because I do have a lot of listeners who have been like, oh, you talk about yourself a lot and you talk about like how you got a whole ass girlfriend and you struggling during the pandemic. But what about people who are like single or not necessarily living with their partner? So, my first question, a little background is, what was it like for you? Like, what was your living situation before this pandemic happened?
Yeah, I was already living alone. I will do anything in my power to live alone. It's the ideal situation for me. I don't really like people in my house like that. So,
okay, so you've always liked to live by yourself. You like to have a little company every now and then, but for the majority of your like adult life, you have been living by yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so with living by yourself, do you feel like things are like different at all now that you're kind of like forced to not really have people in your space like that? Like, I know you don't like people in your space that often, but now that you don't even have that option, like, what is the, does it, like, do you feel different at all about it?
I don't really know if I do. I don't know if I definitely feel more grateful. Like, I've been very, very grateful for my living situation mm-hmm. Since pandemic, just because like I really like my apartment. I think it's very comfortable. And I'm one of those people that is like taking this pandemic seriously and like not going places. So
yeah,
I'm gonna spend all my time here. And, you know, I'm definitely realizing like there are things that I wish I had, but people is not one of them. Like, I wish I had direct access to sunlight, you know, like I have a balcony, but I only get the actual sunshine at a certain time of day. Like, I wish I had like a rooftop. Mm-hmm. I mean, my building has a rooftop, but other people are there. And I don't want other people there. I want like my own rooftop I could be topless on or something.
Right.
Right. And then like, I wish I had like another bedroom to have like a proper office space. But like, other than that, like that's kind of what I'm wishing. I just wish I had like more space to myself as opposed to like missing people. Like, I talk to my friends, you know, I FaceTime my friends and Zoom them and stuff, which is, it's like perfectly fine. Like, that feels great. I was a homebody before. I wasn't really like going out to parties or like events with crowds, you know, for off rip. So I don't know. It's kind of ideal for me. I'm thriving in quarantine, quite frankly.
Okay. And that's like, I haven't heard that a lot. And it's probably because I don't have a lot of friends outside of you that are like, actually, I'm good. Like, I don't want to be around people. And it's surprising until I met you and you actually realized, no, she really is a homebody. Like, miss her with all that other shit because you're so outgoing and, you know, you're creative and you thrive on the stage. So I guess, you know, people tend to think of like creative types as like always being in the scene and always being around people, but you you're thriving right now. Like, you
Yeah,
getting shit done.
it's funny to hear you say, like, oh, Asia's so humble. Like, I'm obsessed with myself. I am the biggest fan of myself. So, like, quite frankly, spending time with myself is a pleasure and an honor and a
Wow.
gift to me. Like, I enjoy my company so very much. So I'm really like just getting to spend like a lot of quality time with
Yeah.
myself and learning things about myself and like being like, oh damn, I am that bitch. Like, oh, it's like I still continue to surprise myself with like how great I am. And I've started, focusing on making myself even greater. I've been trying to like cook more. I don't really enjoy cooking, but I've been trying to eat better and eat healthier, which is me cooking and me making green smoothies and things like that. And so as a result of that, I'm getting even finer every day. I'm
And
healthy.
I can't hold you. You
It's
looking
like
fucking good.
I just be staring at myself in the mirror for hours and hours at a time, taking pictures of myself and then looking at those pictures of myself being like, God damn, shit. This is the baddest bitch I've ever seen. Well, who else? Like, who is going to live with me? Who could be in this house if you're not someone who I admire greater than or equal to myself? Because if I don't like you as much as I like myself, then there's going to be a point where I come across very selfish. But
Right.
I am selfish because I like myself the most. I don't know. It's not
No.
like I'm inconsiderate. I don't need anybody else to. I don't. It's not like at anybody's expense. It's just that
Right.
like I am going to be with me forever, so I
Yeah.
better really like me, or else in situations like this, like there's a lot of single people going crazy in quarantine. That's why people keep going to bars and like feel the need to go out because they don't like sitting at home with themselves. And I'm like, how sad. Like, that's unfortunate that you don't like yourself enough to like chill with yourself and really enjoy it
No, that's a word right
to the point
there.
where you want to like put yourself at risk of a pandemic that is like killing people rapidly. Like, millions of people have died from this, and
Yeah.
like you hate being alone with your thoughts so much that you're going to risk that just to hang out with your friends. Look, my birthday was a couple days ago. Three of my closest friends came over and we hang out, and I had like the best fucking time. We ate Pizza Hut and ate cake and smoked weed and talk about our feelings. And like it was so great. That was perfectly
Yeah.
like that was just as fulfilling as going to a like I didn't need to have a party
Right.
to enjoy my birthday. I just like as long as I can still talk to the people that I care about, whether that's in person or whether it's like through FaceTime or whatever, like that's my connection to people. I don't need attention or like strangers to see me or to like meet new
Yeah.
people. My life is like full of amazing people. So I'm like, cool. I'm cool with just that.
And I think you saying that kind of like puts a lot into perspective, because I think it's important to realize that a lot of people are just not there. Like,
Real.
you are naturally able to be like, hey, I need to put myself as my top priority. And like you said, it's not at the expense of nobody. It's just like, I
Yeah.
just gotta honor myself. And I think a lot of people have not been on, like, honestly, I've had friends who like I barely talk to now because I was like, hey nigga, I'm not coming to do that. Like, I
Right.
don't feel comfortable doing that. And it has weeded a lot of like fuck niggas out of my life because, like you said, people are literally dying.
Yeah, it's not where if you care about me, you should care about my safety. So why are you even if you care about yourself, you should care about your safety. But like also as a friend, it's not a you're not a good friend if you're asking me to put myself at risk just to like hang out with you and make you feel better. And like, is that really quality time that we're
Right.
spending together? If it's just
Right.
like you just want to have as many people around you as possible so you don't have to like think about your thoughts or whatever. But like that's not quality time in my opinion. Like quality time is one of my love languages. Like if I like somebody, like let's just like sit down somewhere quiet and like talk about all of our feelings and all the things that are interesting to us and like all of our hopes and dreams. Like I
Yeah.
like legit quality time. I'm like if I go to a party, I'm not spending quality time with anybody. If there's loud music, or in LA, I guess there's usually not music. It's usually just like a bunch of networking, which is also not quality time. Like, I don't feel like I'm having a hard time spending quality time with my friends, as much as I like wish I could see them more and like give them hugs and things. It just makes me appreciate it more when I do get to see them and when I do get to hug them. It's just like, oh man, love. This is I'm so grateful to have someone that I want to spend like intimate quality time with.
And that, oh my God, I'm just so glad that you're saying this, because I feel like once I block all the people, they'll understand why I'm blocking them. Because Asia, who is my sensei, said, bitch, quality time does not
Look,
mean that you have to be the same. Like, I you
it's so
just you
it's
just put it
interesting because I
together.
feel like I have a lot of friends who are like very busy and very social. And there's definitely been like a few of them who have hit me up and been like, oh, I kind of see what you mean, or I kind of like see why you always be at the crib, or like I see why you like keep. Why you like keep a small circle, or why you're like not always in the mix. Like now that I'm doing it, I'm kind of enjoying it, and it's like forcing me to really think about the people that I have around me and why. And just I don't know, it's just like it's quality control. I feel like I have a whole lot of friends, but I don't feel like I am like obligated to be friends with anybody. Like I don't feel pressured to be friends with anybody for any particular reason other than like I genuinely really really like them and like spending time with them. 'Cause otherwise it's just like people taking up your time and your space and your energy that you could be, in my case, that I could be putting towards myself. Because again, I am my favorite, I am my best friend. I'm my very 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 best, like the number one friend is me. So if I'm spending time with somebody I don't really like that much, that's time taken away from me, spending time with me, doing all the things that I like.
And
There's a lot of
that's
fun stuff I could do by myself.
And I'm just like, you really just delivered a word to me, because I am
Look, if there's like a single gospel ministry, I am the pastor of that church. Like, I have been pro being single my literal whole life. Like, there was one time where I fucked around and ended up in a relationship, but that was just so I could see what everybody was talking about because I was confused. I didn't get it. And when I was in that relationship, I was like, oh, I get it now. And I stayed in that relationship because I loved getting it so much. But like, once I got out of the relationship, I was like, my nigga, that was a shitty relationship. I should have been got out of that. Like, I missed out on so much me time being in that relationship. I spent so the majority of my energy on that relationship and on my work, and I didn't have the energy that I wanted for myself. And it was just like, okay, well, I get what you guys are talking about, but that's not really for me. But I'm glad to have experienced it. Like, it made me feel closer to my friends and the people in my life, and like love songs and rom-coms and all that bullshit. But like, yeah, okay, cool. Also, me. I feel like hanging out with me was better than hanging out with that nigga in the relationship. Like, just personally, since being out of it, I've just really been so much happier and more successful and like finer, and like just everything about my life just really got so much better when I can really prioritize it.
I just admire how unapologetic you are about it, because I think a lot of times in my life, I'm often feeling bad for putting myself first. And I think a lot of Black women deal with that.
Definitely, definitely.
So it's nice to have somebody in my life, and now everybody who's listening to this, to say, fuck that. Like, no, like, I'm just gonna work on myself. And if you can't understand why I'm putting myself first, then you don't even deserve my energy, period.
It's like you owe it to yourself to see how far you can go. You seen Moana? Moana was preaching, bruh. When she was singing How Far I'll Go, it's just like there's no way of telling. Like, I'll never know how far I can go by myself unless I get on this boat and go see. Like, sorry, y'all.
Right.
I know you want me to be here. I know I have these alleged responsibilities that I was born into and didn't really have a choice. But something feels like I should just go pursue this by myself and go see what I'm capable of when I'm not, prioritizing some not shit nigga who is prioritizing himself. Like, at the end of the day,
Right.
like, because, and it makes more sense. Like, I feel like being a mostly heterosexual woman, it especially makes sense to be single because men are raised to prioritize their
Right.
personal growth in themselves. And so by agreeing to be in a relationship with a man, I'm already probably going to have to unpack a lot of that unless I like find somebody who's like, raised to help support women, which is like not a thing. Like, I don't know how the men who are like raised to su help support women following their dream, like,
I don't
that's
know
rare.
them. I don't
I
know
don't see
them.
that on TV a lot. I don't read about it a lot. It's just like not a very common trope. So
Yeah.
it
It's
just
just
crack like
mainly
on
just
paper,
yeah.
it just don't make sense.
Right. On paper it don't make sense. And mainly it's just niggas being like, hey, I'm in touch with my feminine side, but I also don't respect, women that I'm not attracted to. Or it's just
Right.
like,
It's like I
you know
got a
what
lot
I'm
of
saying?
feelings. I got a lot of emotional baggage. It's in my feminine side, but like also I'm gonna take that out on you. Like, you do the emotional labor. I have all these emotions and like I'm gonna write songs about it, but like I'm also gonna like leave you to kind of like deal with all of my unchecked introspection. Like, yeah, like I'm an artist. Like, I know how artist niggas get down. I know how, like, I'm from the South. I know how, like, I would need somebody in my life who has a certain amount of emotional intelligence and can communicate it that way. But like
Right.
also somebody who cares about themselves enough to really like, again, like me, like spend time with themselves, like trying to make the best version of themselves, whatever that means. Because
Because
I feel like I'm dope. Like, as much as I talk
you
about like
are.
I'm great, I'm my favorite person, but I also spend a lot of time investing in being a dope person. Like,
Right.
I read a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts and psych. Like, I listen to a lot of different people talk about different things so I can try to have a lot of understanding and try to take what feels like that connects to my life and like try to just like live more efficiently and all of that good stuff. Like, I spend my time working on myself straight up.
Yeah.
And you can't do that when you're surrounded by a bunch of people all the time. Or when there's like so much outward like influence and stuff.
And I need to hear that. And I think a lot of people need to hear that, especially being a creative moving to LA, because a lot of the advice, like the advice that you gave me, has carried me through way more than the advice of people who were like, you gotta network. You gotta always be on the scene.
Bruh, let me.
Like,
I feel like
whew.
I feel like I just said that to somebody the other day, and I was just like, I feel like everybody gives really bad advice out here.
It's
Like, all
horrible.
of the advice that I, even when I was in Chicago, like the advice that I be getting is not what be working. So it's like such a weird disconnect, and sometimes I feel like they give that advice because it's the advice they were given, not because it necessarily worked for them. Whereas like the
Yes.
advice I give is like what I did, like, well, I did this and then this happened, so I don't know, maybe try doing that.
That's literally y'all, for real. That is how Asia gives advice. Like, I have come to Asia like, hey, I want to like do stand up, and Asia's like, well, why don't you do it? Like, and it's not
It's
like
like it's not hard. It's not a hard thing
it,
to do.
just fucking go do it and stop worrying about like these niggas telling you you gotta go meet this person and meet that person and like take all these extra steps when you could just work on yourself and go do the shit.
Right, because when you show up, you're the best version of yourself. You don't have to do a lot of the other things that people recommend that you do because to like assist the talent thing. Like, my whole thing is like, I'm gonna show up to the spot mad fucking talented so that it makes sense for everybody to just give me the job. Whereas you can kind of you can show up to the event mad mediocre and network your way to the top. Sure, that works. But like, why would I give that advice to somebody who I think is talented? How about you just go be talented and people who see that will want to work with you and it'll happen organically, as opposed to you trying to make yourself fit into whatever is already existing out there, or like trying to be this like stereotypical Hollywood networking party, oh, name dropping, like blah blah blah. Like, it's not, it's a waste of time and energy. It seems a lot harder than just like being good at it.
Yeah, and I think that, like you're saying, it's kind of putting, this pandemic has put that in perspective more than anything, because it's like everybody who has built themselves not up through their talent but through their ability to be that nigga in every picture and be networking, that's lost now. So
it's like, it's hard to get that content when you're in the crib.
Yes, like all you have left is your talent. So, first of all, Asia, you need to just start your own church, because I will be on the usher boy or whatever the fuck.
Look, I've been thinking about starting a cult low key, because I feel like if I was going to do it, like, I want to get something out of it. Like, if I ran a church, I would feel obligated to like be, I don't want to be like a mega church, those like personalities. Like, I don't want to be sleazy about it. I want to be straight up with it. Like, I want to be like, look, I got hot information. I got a lot of hot takes. I got like good shit. Y'all don't like it. But in return, y'all gotta be my slaves for a little bit. Do shit for me. Because I don't like doing shit. Like, I'm lazy. So if I'm a singer and drop knowledge on you, y'all gotta do my laundry and like fucking make me meals and shit.
Oh, that's it?
Like, you gotta do my laundry, gotta make me meals, and then like all the sexy niggas gotta fuck me. So it's a cult, like it's straight up a cult, like church, mega churches do that, but they don't, they do it on a low, but like, I gotta be transparent about it. I gotta be a real nigga always. So I'm gonna have a real nigga cult, and I'm gonna be like, I got this good information, you could follow it. Because that's the thing about cults, like, they get you because they be spitting. Like, there's not a lot of cults that like are off rip just saying crazy shit. They say good shit at first, and then like the shit gets a little weird.
Yeah,
I feel like it don't have to get weird if I'm just with it up front. Like, the weird shit is going to be, you know, I'm a lazy bitch and I just like want y'all to be my slaves. I'll be a nice, I'll be a good master to serve, but I do want to be served.
Like, and you literally want to be served. Like,
because look, I'm tired from doing all of this self work. You know, I'm over here working on myself. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm reading. I don't have time to cook and clean. And talk to niggas? No.
I'm actually not mad at that. Can you?
This sounds good though, right? See,
this
like,
amazing.
I'm just like, saying, like, I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm like, I think I might be a low key, pretty good cult leader. I started listening to this podcast about cults, so I'm gonna see if I can, like, take some notes and see. It'll be chill though.
Yeah, like, the one thing is, I would just advise anybody who wants to join Asia's cult is to, like, not bring your nigga around, because, like...
I mean, you can bring him around, you just gonna have to share him, like, straight up, like, that's part of the cult. I'm not gonna take your man. Like I said, I don't want that kind of responsibility. Nobody's gonna take your nigga. I'm gonna borrow him so he can, you know, contribute to the economy of this pussy.
Well, let's just be... Let's just be fair. If you borrow that nigga, he gone. Okay.
Nah, because I don't want him. No, I don't want him. He don't get to be. He don't have that option. If he wants a woman, then he better stay with his girl. Cause I ain't about to be his girl. I'm gonna just borrow him. It's just like when people dog sit my dog. Like, he's cute, and you can have him for a little bit, but then you're gonna want to send him back here to his house because you don't want that responsibility.
Oh my god, Timbo, so fucking cute.
He's very cute, but guess what? He gonna pee on your rug enough to where you're gonna want him back over here. Oh, that's fine. I've agreed to deal with his bullshit because he is cute and I love him, but it's not a lot of niggas who are cute enough for me to deal with their bullshit. And I can only really do one at a time. I can only have a dog or a nigga. I can't really have both. There's too many men in my house.
They basically the same responsibility. You ain't
it's
lying.
The same responsibility. And then, like, I feel like the dog is, like, cuter and, like, more loyal. And, like, he makes me happier on a regular basis more so than a nigga does.
That's 100% true. Because you're not... Timbo ain't finna be, like, in somebody else's apartment without you knowing. Like...
He's not. He wouldn't even want to be. Like, he just wants to make sure that I'm good. He'd be like, "What you doing? Are you okay? Is the ice machine going to attack you? Do I need to go beat up the ice machine?"
It's
He'd be
true,
barking at the
though.
fridge because he's a guard dog. He's like, he knows his place, he knows his job.
Hey, y'all, you have to follow Asia on Instagram. Asia, what's your IG handle?
Yeah, my IG and my Twitter are both euthanasia, euthanasia.
Okay, cute.
Yeah.
But okay, another question. So you talk a lot about self-care, and I'm wondering what that, do you like have a routine? Is there like something that when you get up in the morning, like what does it look like for Asia when you wake up?
It changes. I'm pretty fluid. Lately, when I wake up, I've been focusing on taking like very deep breaths and setting intentions for the day. What I want to accomplish today, even if it's like very vague, or like what I want to feel like today. And I just kind of like chill, maybe like do some stretches in bed or something, like bed stretches. I love being in bed, so I extend my time in bed as much as possible, quite frankly. I like scroll on my phone for a bit or whatever, but it's not like, and then like I'm like, oh, meditating, like doing yoga every morning. Like, I'm really not that disciplined. The thing I really like about quarantine is that I have a lot less commitments as far as like having to be places. So I just like can really take my time with everything. Like, I can stay in bed until I really feel like getting out of bed. And then when I get out of bed, I can like play in the mirror. Like, I got a new facial steamer recently, which is really fun. I like to steam my face. I like steam. So sometimes I just like steam my face for a while because it feels nice. And I just can like do these things for as long as I want. And, instead of being like, oh, I need to wake up early and like get this workout in, it's like I can literally do this workout at any time in my day. Whenever I feel like doing this workout, I can do this workout, and then I get my workout done because I don't have all of this pressure. So yeah, to answer your question, my morning routine is like just chilling and like filling myself and deciding what I'm gonna do,
And
especially
then
during
that's,
quarantine.
that's true. That's true. That is like something that has been like really nice for me too. It's like I don't gotta like hurry up and get nowhere because I know where to
Right.
go. So it's like you
No
do get,
rush.
there's no rush. And I feel like just the culture of LA has always been like, nigga, hurry up and do this. So how do you stay creatively motivated during this time?
That's a good question. I feel like I wasn't really like this quarantine has felt a lot less work focused. I feel like when I think about other times of like my unemployment or like just me being at the crib, not really having anything to do, most of the time I'm very focused on like writing something or coming up with some type of something or another. But like when quarantine started, like we were working on that show. And that's where a lot like I had that's what I had been working on creatively for the year. And now it's not happening. So I was pretty much just like, fuck that. I'm not about to rush into another creative project. I just did this project that I worked so hard on. Just because I didn't get to finish it doesn't mean that like that is back to the drawing board. Like I'm about to like I wasn't so much focused on creating as much as I was on like getting my eating habits better, like learning how to make healthy food for myself, like trying to stay active. Like that's what I was really focused on. And then like creatively, it's just like if shit came up, then shit came up. Like if I had a meeting where they like pitched me an idea or something and I was inspired by it, then it was like, all right, cool. Or like if I was bored, like I wrote a dog song during quarantine because my dog is cute and I'd be looking at him and he
That's fun.
inspired me. So I like wrote a little dog song. And like most of the creative projects that I have done have not been really on purpose. They just kind of organically happened. Which is fine because it's like they're not for anything in particular. They're just because I'm like they're for the internet. I'm bored and this is just like some fun shit to do. So yeah, I don't know. It's been nice not having to like prioritize creating,
Yeah.
because I feel like for most of my life, like that has really been the number one priority is like my cr like creating and performing. But right now it's just like, yeah, you know, I might do a little performance, might perform a little bit, might create a little bit, but
It's
I'm trying
just
to
like,
learn how to like vegetables right now. Where
right.
all my energy was like into how do I like vegetables?
Wait, so did you figure out like what vegetable do you love
I
right
like some
now?
vegetables. Like I just finished like a big ass green smoothie. It has spinach and shit in it and like, you
Okay.
know, superfoods, you know, I fuck with kale a little bit, you know, I got like, you know,
Okay.
some like peppers and what have you. But like I'm still not huge on vegetables, but I'm definitely like better and just figuring out alternatives and shit and like healthier food to make myself.
Well,
Cause
hey,
I
you
much
have a
prefer
friend
to
in
Uber Eats. Like I said, I want to be served. I want Uber Eats every single day, which is pretty much what I was doing up until quarantine when I was like, I guess I shouldn't Uber Eats every day. Maybe I should make myself something to eat.
Yeah, because after a while, it kind of takes the spark out of it, right? Like, if you're at home during quarantine for 6 months, like, would you really Uber Eats every day?
I mean, yeah, I would. But I also probably be like 500 pounds and like really unhealthy and like unable
Yeah.
to dance. Like one of the projects that I've worked on, like I guess I wrote this pilot in like 2018. That was like my writing sample. And so now I'm starting to like develop it. Like, you know, people are interested in it and they want to like, you know, sell it into it and sell it and make it a show or whatever. So I'm thinking like if this show happens, I want to be in it. I want to play the lead part that I wrote for myself. And it's
Yeah.
a dance part. So, bitch, I'm gonna have to be in dance shape
Yeah.
because if I'm 500 pounds and I've been doing nothing but like eating Cheesecake Factory every day, sitting on my ass on the
Right.
couch, like that's not really, they like, you know, they say if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Like,
Yeah.
I would like whenever the time comes to where there's an opportunity that I can, perform and that like incorporate dance into my performance because I really haven't like I haven't danced a whole lot since I was younger, but it's like it's gonna be a lot easier to get back into dance if I can like support myself. And if I am
Yeah,
weak
yeah.
muscularly and very heavy, then I cannot support myself. So it's just like
Yeah.
practical wise, what do I want to do? I want to dance and twirl and shit. All right, well, bitch, aerodynamics and physics, you know how that works.
Right. Right.
You
So
have to figure out something. Because
it
for the
sounds
most part, like I wasn't
like,
dancing, so it didn't really matter. So I was like, I don't care if I eat Cheesecake Factory every day because it's delicious.
yeah.
And like Hollywood is like a depressing ass industry. So it's like, girl, I need all of the joy I can get right now. But during quarantine, I'm not like in the midst of Hollywood. I'm at my house and I feel like a lot better and a lot happier. So it's like, it
Yeah.
makes sense to refocus my source of joy from food to like something else.
Yeah, and it sounds like to me that the way that you stay motivated creatively is that you take care of yourself. Like it all comes back to that
That's
self-care.
yeah, that's really real. Like taking care of yourself is the best thing you can do for yourself creatively because
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
not doing good, it's like I'm not a part of the tortured artist type mindset. Like I don't believe that the best art comes out of like the worst misery or like the worst situations or like when you're at your lowest is when you create. Like I feel like when I was at my lowest, I created some great stuff, but I don't think it's the best stuff ever because I think when I'm well taken care of and can really focus on making the art the quality that I want it to, then like it's obviously better. Like I don't like creating in the
Right.
middle of turmoil because that sets
Yeah.
you up to be like, well, it's not gonna be as good if I'm not miserable. Like I want to set myself up to be happy forever. So I need to learn how to make really good art when I'm really happy too.
Yeah, and I don't understand where that fucking came from. Where people
Miserable
are just
people.
like, why do I have to be like on the verge of like wanting to end everything for you to appreciate the shit that I'm putting out? Like, why
I
can't I
don't
just
know.
be happy and eat vegetables? Like, why?
It's weird. Sometimes I feel like it's also very loaded racially too, because like black women especially, they really only like us when we struggling, when we got like the real sob story. And I'm just like, girl, I don't have that for you. Like sad things happen in my life, but guess what? They're not as important as all of the happy things that happen in my life. Like all of the fun times I had with my friends, all of the drugs we did, all of the dick I sucked. Like those are way more interesting than that time that I was like really sad and stayed in bed crying for a long time. Like, girl, who cares?
No, that's 100% true, because I had some people who used some of my poetry for some shit that they was doing in New York, whatever. It was cute. But I thought about it. The only thing that they used was the saddest fucking I'm being racially discriminated, like just like the saddest shit. And the stuff that I'm like most proud of, because I'm happy and in a good place, niggas weren't checking for that. I ain't gonna even say niggas, just white people. Like they was
Right.
like,
I mean, no, but you're right though. Like I feel like so much of what I write is inspired by my real life, and like my real life is a black woman. So like there's going to be mention of injustices and like fucked up things that happen. But you know, that's simply just like one ingredient to this very complicated gumbo that is my life. And like there's also crab legs in there. So like why not? Let's talk about the crab legs. Like why would you focus on that basil when there's like crab legs too?
Right,
It's
because that's the
like,
revolutionary part, is that despite all that, I am still out here cracking these crab legs. Like,
yeah, like that's like the human part of it. Like all hu like humans, we're going through pain and emotion, and that's good to connect. But like also as a viewer, as like an audience member, I don't really watch TV to get sad. And I feel like maybe white people don't have anything sad in their lives. And so when they look for entertainment, they want to be sad for other people's lives or something. Because when I watch TV, I'm looking for happy people doing fun, silly things. Because
Same,
like when I be
same.
sad, I don't want to, yeah, I don't, it's, I don't know. It's really weird the way that like black trauma is so popular.
It's yeah, and they've like have a whole term, trauma porn, and I'm like, who came up with
Yeah.
that? A white person came up with that.
I mean, but that's how they treat it. Like white people treat trauma like it's like they get some weird sick pleasure out of it, and it's just like it's not, yeah. I'm not a huge fan.
It almost makes you want to like those parts of you that you need to get out and you need to express creatively. It almost makes you like not want to share it with them. Like,
Right, because it's like you're gonna handle this irresponsibly, or you're gonna like fetishize or like emphasize this part far more than it is to me. It's like just being able to, like, I've already gotten through the point where like I don't define myself by this traumatic event. However, you are going to turn this into a place where like my story is now defined by this traumatic event. Like, you wrote the movie about my life, and it's like, oh, this poor, like, oh my gosh, I was reading this article the other day about The Blind Side, and the guy that it's based on, Michael Orr, and he was saying how like he had issues with the movie because it really like removed a lot of the fun and interesting things about him. Like, if you've seen the movie, which I have, like, I love Sandra Bullock a lot.
No,
So,
I've seen it because I'm pretty sure it's based in Memphis, right?
yeah, I think so. He, yeah. So he, and so, like, and the thing, it wasn't like, it was a story about a white family who helped and saved this, you know, young black man. Like, that part is true. That should have been enough, right? Like, you can make this story about that and it's fine. But instead, they kind of made it seem like, you know, this woman introduced him to football. It's like, girl, this is a big nigga in the South. You think he never considered playing football before? Like, and that's what one of his problems that he had. He was like, they kind of took away the fact that like I was already athletic before this. Like I was already training and interested in sports before I met them. And it took away like the part that I brought, you know, just to really emphasize the part that she helped. And the character in the movie apparently is like nothing like him in real life. In real life, he has a big personality and a sense of humor. And in the movie, he's like super quiet and
Yeah,
super
he's like
demure.
this
No.
gentle, like,
A
and they
gentle
made
giant,
him like
yeah.
that. Yeah, and they made him
Exactly,
like that,
because
so he's more consumable for white people to be
it's a
like,
lot more comfortable if he's just big in figure, but like small in personality or small in intellect or small in any of this kind of stuff, instead of being like, a person with a big personality who everyone loved, which is probably why these people were so eager to take him into his family. Like, he was a great
Exactly.
person and he was smart and he had all these great attributes, but like, you don't want to focus on any of that because for whatever reason, his sense of humor is not of interest to white people. And like, I think that's super fucked up because I don't see how that movie could have been made worse by including those things. You know, like, it
love
doesn't make the story any less cool. And it's still a
No,
white
it does.
savior story. If you love white saviors, it's still a white savior. And it's a good one and it's a true one. Like, he loves that family. They still all hang out to this day. Like, it's a legit good story, the truth of it. But you just had to go that extra little mile to make sure that he wasn't too gregarious and that he wasn't too smart and that he wasn't too athletic already. Like, fuck out of here. Y'all don't care about us. Like,
Not at all.
it's
Not
just
at all.
like those
Because,
little irresponsible decisions you make when you give people like the privilege of having your art and your story and your traumatic events. Like, I need white people to stop writing black trauma stories. I need them to be in the hands and complete creative control of people who understand the nuance of all of those little things like that.
Have you, speaking of black trauma, and we'll just touch on it for a second, have you seen Queen and Slim?
No, I ain't seen no damn Queen and Slim. The fuck? Ain't nothing about that. I remember, like, I feel like I was reading, like, I read when it was first announced that it was coming out, and when she first announced that it was, like, before the movie, before the trailer existed or whatever, the way they described it was just like a Bonnie and Clyde something or another. Like, I don't know. The way they described it, I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Like, you know, a couple and they shoot some cops and they run off into the sunset and woo. And come to find out from the trailer, I was like, this shit looks sad and like
It was
it's their
just
first date and she's writing for him, but like she just met him and like
it,
and then like niggas die in the end. Wait, what?
like
Like, this
it.
is like the movie I thought I was getting. I thought I was getting something fun where we just like killing cops out here. Woo.
Child, when I
Like the way
tell
that white people
you,
get to have fun when they commit crimes, you know? Like Bonnie and Clyde was not no like sad ass racial trauma. Like Bonnie and Clyde was like, nigga, we out here. We committing crimes. Let's go.
And like whoever is in our way, like
It's
fuck
getting
them.
shot. We'll kill everybody. Like that's what I thought it was supposed to be. And that seems way more interesting than like whatever the fuck it ended up being.
It ended up being just like just a bunch of traumatic ass shit over and over again.
Who is
And
that for? I just
that's what
cannot,
I,
for the life of
oh
me,
my
understand
God.
like who is craving this.
I don't
I
know.
know who's consuming it. Like my family is consuming it, but I think they're just consuming it because that's what they're being fed, you know? Like they're watching it because it's there, it has black people in it, and like, you know, representation matters. But I don't think that that's necessarily the I don't know. I certainly don't want it. I'm not going to say that it doesn't have a place because like I don't get to decide what has a place in art or whatever. Like people like what they're going to like, but I don't fucking like it. Straight up. I
That's
think
what
for
I'm
me,
saying. Like,
I don't see why it would be appealing to anyone, but
I and that's when you said that, like, white people should not have the responsibility or should not be creating what trauma and heartache and pain looks like for a black experience, and just throwing it, in the mix so you feel good about whatever you feeling bad about. Like, at least I ain't a nigga. But when a black woman is responsible for it, it kind of, for me, I'm like, sis, you kind of like you said, I don't get to decide what other people's art should be and looks like. But when my family is buying out the theater and we coming in here and we looking for like a smidget of like hope in an imaginary
trying to have a
world.
good time, and we're literally looking for entertainment. Like we're literally at the movie theater trying to get entertained, and instead it's just like, don't forget, niggas is dying out here. It's like, girl, I hadn't forgotten. I was trying to forget, but I guess I should have went to go see Trolls World Tour because it doesn't seem like I'll be able to forget ever.
Watch Trolls with Justin
I would
Timberlake
much rather
doing
watch Trolls World Tour than Queen and Slim, and I hate Justin Timberlake, but you know what? If I had a choice, easy. I wouldn't even think twice.
I ain't gonna
Wouldn't
hold
even
you.
think
I wish I
twice.
had a win and saw it. I promise you, because I was in the movie with my
Because I got good
popcorn
music
and
and I like to
everything.
dance. I like pop music. I like dancing and
I know you
happiness.
do.
So
I know
if some
you
white
do.
people are going to serve me some black trauma porn or some fucking trolls dancing to Can't Stop This Feeling, girl, guess who's singing Can't Stop This Feeling? Can't Stop This Feeling. Easy.
100% true. We're not, oof, okay. So you touched on this a little bit earlier, but how has staying connected with not only your friends but your family? Obviously you can't really see them, so how has it changed? Do you feel like you speak to them more or less? Like, what does it look like now for you?
No, I feel like my family is bored. They just be calling me all the time.
Yeah,
Like,
yes, they are. It's true.
do but it which is ironic because like I definitely have far less to talk about. Like, we're
Yeah.
definitely like not doing anything between the times that we speak to each other, and so I don't really feel the need. I also have a side of the family who like only really gossips, so I don't talk to them at all because all they have to do is talk about people's business. And like, that's, I don't enjoy those kind of conversations, regardless of whether you're my grandma or not. I'm not entertaining you just because you're my grandma.
Right.
Because I think it's messy. I don't like, morally, I don't think it's good that you're gossiping. And I don't like that you feel entitled to gossip about your family just because they're your family. So I think that's even worse
Yeah.
that you're gossiping to your family about other members of the family. It's still gossip, and it's still like, and as someone who's like grown up around her, I hear the stories more. Like,
Yeah.
I'll see the thing happen, and I'll hear her tell it to somebody, and it'd be full of lies. And it's just kind of like, how can I grow up around that, and you expect me to tell you anything? Like, I'll
Yeah.
never tell you anything in my life because I know all you're gonna do is like exaggerate it, make it even worse, and then spend the rest of the
Spread it
day talking
around.
about it to everybody else in the family. Because yeah, so it's like I don't really talk to my like I wasn't really talking to them a whole lot before, and it's pretty much the same. Like,
It hasn't changed that much.
I'm more pro chosen family than like biological family.
Right.
Like, we don't see eye to eye on like a lot of things that are very important to me, so
Right.
for that it's like I gotta keep my distance.
Do you
So
think
I
that
spend a
you?
lot more time with my like friends.
Yeah. Well, as far as your friends go, have you guys, do you think you guys have been like talking more, or has it kind of been the same?
I think it's kind of like the group chat's still popping around like the same amount.
Yeah.
I feel like I probably FaceTime people more just because like if I haven't seen you in a while and where we would usually like meet up and smoke or something and like hang out, we're not really doing that anymore. Like, I'm not really on your side of town anymore because I'm not going anywhere. So
Yeah.
we'll do like a lot of like FaceTime and smoke so we can like see each other's faces and like catch up and shit. But like I said, like I was always a homebody, so like it wasn't a huge shift. Like, this wasn't a lot. It was more of like how the rest of the world shift. Like, I was pretty much doing the same thing, but it
Right.
was just nice to like not have the expectation from the rest of the world for me to be doing other things. Like, nobody's expecting me to go to any auditions. Nobody's expecting me to just like do go out and meet up in places and like go to shows and stuff. Like, there's no expectation for me to leave, so
Yeah. So it took a little bit of weight off of you, because it's like, nigga, none of us going nowhere. So,
yeah, it was
yeah.
like I didn't want to go, so now I'm not expected to go.
Yes, okay. So, what about connecting with new people? Have you been able to connect or communicate with new people, or has that just like not been a thing for you? Like, are people who you have like never spoke with kind of reaching out to you like, "Hey, like, I love your work. Let's be friends." Or like, what's going on with that?
I feel like, I mean, yeah, with social media and stuff, I think there are like more and more people reaching out, but I haven't really had people being like, "Hey, let's be friends." I think it's more of just professionally. Professionally, I've met like a lot of new people, and it's Yeah, like there's still like people, everybody in the industry is at home right now. So people are taking a lot more like Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
So I've been able to like connect with a lot of people, whereas like if the schedule involved me, traveling all the way out to the valley or blah, 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 and like it wouldn't have been as easy to meet with them as it is right now. And, yeah, professionally, I made like a lot of really great connections. I feel like Zoom is great. Like I like these Zoom meetings more so than the general meetings in the offices, because I get to like see people's houses and like their pets and stuff and like be all in
Right.
their business a little more. So it just like feels a little more intimate, and like a lot of my meetings have just felt so laid back and like a little chill session. It's just felt like hanging out with a new friend, because I'm also like fortunate enough to like be meeting with very cool people, not like up like stuck up like weird snooty business, like, hey, welcome to the business, I'm the biz, like, yeah, like stereotypes.
Yeah.
Like it's just been like really regular people, mostly women of color, who have been like, yo, what's up, like what do you like to do, like here's what I like to do. And it's just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, okay. So you get to like kind of get to know people more personally and doesn't feel as formal, 'cause nigga, we all at the house. Like,
Right.
yeah.
It feels very formal. Like even the people aren't getting dressed up even to like take these Zoom
Yeah.
meetings or screen. They're like in t-shirts. And I'm like, yeah, girl, me too. I was gonna
Okay.
wear t-shirts in the meeting in the first place, but now that we're both in t-shirts, it feels even better, because I'm notorious for showing up. Like I don't have business professional clothing. I wear crop tops and sweatpants everywhere. It's what I'm wearing right now. It's what I'll wear every day forever, because it's comfortable.
And it'd be cute as shit. It'd be
It's
so
cute. I
cute.
like it. I like the athleisure look.
I love
So it's
that look
nice
on
that
you.
everybody's in their athleisure now.
So speaking of like you buying stuff, have you been like buying, like, or have you been one of them people that's like,
Oh,
I am buying
child.
so much on Amazon. I am buying. Are
Like
you like,
normally I buy a lot on Amazon. During quarantine, whoo, child,
girl,
I
how
own
nice.
all of Amazon. I bought all of it. Every single thing on Amazon is in my house right now.
What's the most useless thing that you have bought since the pandemic
The most
started?
useless. I bought a knife sharpener
Oh.
because I was trying to make sushi, but my knives were too dull. Like I said, I don't cook like that. So like the first time I'm trying to like, I didn't realize how sharp the knife needed to be able to like cut through the seaweed and shit for like sushi.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let me buy a knife sharpener for the next time I make sushi. I haven't made sushi since.
So it's
So it's just
just
like
there.
sitting in the packaging under my kitchen,
It's
just chilling.
just doing nothing. It sounds like one of the best things that you bought, and this is just an
I mean, I bought
assumption.
a whole
What's your
bunch of great.
steamer?
I love like the facial steamer. That was a very recent purchase, and I really enjoy it. I feel like most of the purchases that I've made though have been very useful. Like I think there's a package in the mail for me right now, matter of fact.
You.
Because it's like Amazon also has like cute like thought wear, like little
Yes.
like matching sets and like little booty shorts and stuff. And I lost a whole lot of weight during quarantine, so like I've
You
been really
have.
like I went from a size large to a size medium. So it's like all the clothes in my closet are too big for the most part, especially in athleisure when I'm already buying things kind of baggy. So now they're
Yeah.
like extra extra baggy. So I've like had to replenish at least like some type of clothing for when I walk my dog or when I like take thirst traps to post on Instagram or whatever. But so a lot of that has come from Amazon too, because I mean, I don't want to support fast fashion, but like ain't nobody like going shopping right now. I just need you to mail something to my
Right.
house, and I need to be like low risk, because like it's not like I'm going out. I just basically I'm gonna be honest with you, I had to buy some new thought clothes so that in case when I walk my dog, it's niggas out there. Because I'm not going to meet any niggas, any other way. I don't really like apps. But I was like, maybe when I walk my dog, it'll be like five niggas. So let me like find some like thotty shit to wear while I walk my dog. So that's been a
Well,
lot of my purchases.
have you been on any like you just said you don't really like the apps like that, but have you had any like Zoom dates or like
Ew,
any...
no. I'm not a romantic person. Like I'm not really interested in having like in like being in love and like all of the
Yeah.
lovey-dovey like dating and shit. Like no, nah, I'm trying to fuck. Like I'm horny. I want some dick. So if there's a fine nigga who sees me walking my dog and is like, yo, you fine, I want to give you some dick, then I'm going to fuck him. But like, what I'm not about to do is sit down and like try to get to know these niggas and like talk to them, because that's a nightmare. It's not fun. It's straight men are really exhausting. And not like, as somebody who has a lot of friends who I love to talk to, and like you and I have been talking for like an hour right now, like we could talk all day long. Easy, and I like, easy. I don't have a hard time talking to people, but men, it is infuriating trying to talk to straight men, especially under in the context of like they're trying to get some pussy off you, which is just like, first of all, I'm pretty straightforward. Like you're like, I'm this, that's the only goal for me. I'm trying to fuck. Like that's, you don't have to be so fucking weird about it. Yeah. And yet, and still, they're still just the weirdest fucking, it's a nightmare. I really hate talking to men.
I feel right like now. The more straightforward you are with straight guys, the more complicated they make it. Like,
I agree. I 100% agree. Cause like, I am pretty clear when the way I communicate, and it's just kind of like, they don't really listen.
No.
Like they're not listening to the words that I'm saying and processing it. They're just like in their minds trying to like do whatever they know to do has worked in the past, or like what they've been taught to do, or like what they see on TV. I don't know what they're going for. I just know that like there is no one that is harder to talk to than like a straight man that I'm trying to fuck.
They're in cruise control is what it is. Like they're
that makes
always
sense.
In cruise control, where it's just like they're waiting for a keyword to jump out at them so then they can start paying attention, so they could just like get to the house. But if they just listen, especially to you, they'll know like, nigga, like what time?
never been lovey dovey. It's wild because like, remember that, like when I fucked around and ended up in a relationship for a long period of time, it was like, it was probably a year of me and this nigga just like fucking, to the point where like all my friends were like, that's your boyfriend. And I was like, ew, no, it's not. like a year of him being at my house, probably like at least spending the night at least twice a week. Like, and I still was just like, that's not what I asked for. That's not what I, but yes, to, like, I didn't, yeah, that's not what I intended, but I guess this is what it is. So, okay, whatever. And I feel like that's what a lot of niggas be on. Like niggas be like, I don't want to be in a relationship, but like, yeah, this is what it is now. And I'm just like, or we could just make the, we could like talk about it and decide. Cause he was just like, well, I've been acting like you were my girlfriend. And I was just like, well, you never said that. And also we never discussed that. And I never said I wanted that. And like, it was just like, and then when you're in that position, it's just like, oh, you're sleeping with other people. It's like, nigga, I was a hoe when I met you. So why did you think that the hoeing just like stopped? Like I was like, I met your dick and was just like, oh, this is the one. This is the dick for me. No more hoe. Now I'm a housewife. Like, girl, no. Like the saying is, turn a hoe to a housewife. Yeah, I didn't even try to turn me. Like I was very much the hoe. And and like now you're looking at me crazy and like acting dumb because you never said, like, because there was no communication outside of me being like, yeah, I like doing whatever I want because I do.
Well, my question is this, like somebody, let's just talk about it. Like as somebody who is not big on romance and you know, just want some dick, how are you surviving? Like, are you making these niggas go get a COVID test? Or are you just like, how are you getting through this?
I am what they refer to as an incel. I am involuntarily celibate and okay. I'm being a huge asshole about it. Like, I'm not, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
But like, I also don't respect these niggas enough to like, make risky. Any effort to do it or risk it or like any of that kind of stuff. I mean, do I miss dick? Yes.
Yeah.
But is it, do I miss dick more than, you know, going to do karaoke? Like if I had to choose between getting some dick and doing karaoke with my friends, I'd probably pick karaoke with my friends. Like karaoke is a lot of fun. Or like, oh, if I had to choose between like some dick and like Disneyland, girl, Disneyland's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not at the top of my priority list of like things that I'm like really sick without. I'm a little sick without Disneyland. Not that I go to Disneyland like every day or some shit, but I like the idea that I could go to Disneyland. I
No,
actually
that
did
would
go.
be like, yeah, more
Universal
experience.
Studio is a lot closer. Me and Dwayne used to go to Universal Studios. That's my best friend and writing partner. Man, Dwayne used to go to Universal Studios like all the time because he lives very close to it. And like, I miss going to Universal Studios more than. I mean, sex is fun, but like Universal Studios lasts longer. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I was
Like,
just about to
Universal
say it's a
Studios is
long
all
experience.
day. There's a lot of things you can do. There's like food there. There's like rides. You know, and sex is like just the ride. And again, like straight men are really not that fun to hang out with or talk to. Whereas Dwayne is a lot of fun to hang out with and talk to.
Yeah, he is. He is.
And so it's just kind of like I miss having sex, but I don't really miss talking. I don't really miss meeting strangers. I don't really miss like talking to people that I'm not really connecting with. Because I feel
Right.
like that has been, especially since moving to LA, like I don't really connect to men like that. Like it's even farther than it usually is. Like usually I have like at least like a good amount of like straight male friends, like
Yeah.
just like men that I like to hang around with or that I like are dependable or like that I can talk to, like legitimate friends. Since moving to LA, like I don't think I have. I maybe have like one straight male friend that moved out here from Chicago. Like he's my Chicago male friend, but like I don't have a lot of straight men in my life out here. They're like a different breed. Like
I
LA
don't
straight
have
men are
one.
weird.
There's not one straight male in my circle in
I would say
LA.
the
There's not
director,
one.
I would say the director of my show, like he's the straight man
Yeah,
that I
he's
know out
like
here.
the cl and I talk to him sometimes, but like I'm not like calling him like, "Hey, boo, what you up to?" You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, like he's like cool and smart and dependable and like on the right side of any
true.
conversation. So like
True.
a lot of the hesitation of talking to straight men is just kind of be like, all right, so like when is some weird rape apologist shit gonna come out or like
Oh God.
your weird internalized misogyny or
Yeah.
like it's just kind
Yeah.
of like waiting for like little red flags like that and there's so many and it's just like so easy to like really just get super duper turned off. That's why, like, part of me not wanting to talk to them is mainly just because, like, I want to stay attracted to you. Like, I want to stay attracted to you long enough to, like,
Yeah.
get this nut as opposed to, like, talking to you and, like, hearing you say that you were going to vote for, like, Kanye West or some shit like that. And I was just like, well, bitch, now I'm all dried up. Like, I don't want to. And a lot of men also, I find, like, they really enjoy debating. Like, that's their version of flirting is, like, debating you. And I'm not really trying to debate with men. I really like to agree with my friends. Like I like to be on the same side of arguments and like especially like TV. Yeah, sure. Let's debate whether or not we like this TV show. But like I'm not really trying to debate with you about whether or not you think the Me Too movement has gone too far and like it's not safe to be a man and how like I don't want to have those conversations. They're not turning me on. This is not good foreplay. Like so, like, at least with like Castelli, the director, like, I don't have to worry about any of that with him. And that's why I consider him a good friend. But it's like, how many straight men in Los Angeles do I feel that same way about? Not, I like, I don't, especially men that I met out here.
Yeah,
No, I think
like
it's so good.
I'm glad you brought him up because I don't run into any, and he was the only one.
He's like, I wouldn't have him around otherwise. Like, I certainly wouldn't put my art in the hands of a straight man unless I knew that, like, he is on the exact same page as I am. Like, I'm very particular about my creative collaborators more than who I fuck, quite frankly. Like,
No,
I
I
fuck a lot of
hear
not shit men. Like, I fuck a lot of men that I would be embarrassed to admit to right
Me
now.
too. Me
Whereas,
too,
like,
child.
he's directed my music video. He's direct, like, I'll collaborate with him anytime because he'll never embarrass me. Like, he's pretty reliable in that way.
And
And I
it's
care more
funny
about
that you're
my work
saying
than I do
that.
about, yeah.
Yeah, because I was just thinking like that description is so spot on, but it's the exact same way I go about my relationships with white people.
Oh, definitely.
It's the same
Definitely.
thing.
You really have to, like, they have to be, like, vetted from every single angle. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, as far as white friends that I've made out here, I think I have, like, outside of work, like, I've worked with some really great white people, quite frankly. But I have maybe one white friend that I like kick it with, like who will like come over and like we'll just hang out one on one and like have conversations and like it'll be great and stuff like that. And he's like a gay man who I had like a gig with when I first moved here. He's like a singer. And we were just kind of like, oh, like immediately like kind of on the same page, like on the same page. Like me, he's a drag queen. I get along with drag queens in general. So he was
Same.
the only drag queen on this show. And I was just like, yes. Like I kind of give drag queen energy anyway when I perform because I'm like so extra. And so we just kind of gravitated towards each other. But like we were always on the same page. And I never really had to worry about like him not being aware. Also, because he's gay, he's like
It
not one of them.
helps.
Yeah, he's not like one of them white gays who are like oblivious to all of the rest of the things. Like he's very aware and like very supportive and very vocal about, all different types of topics. Like I never have to like clock him or like have a con pull him in. Like I don't like having to like pull my friends in all the time, like especially white friends. It's just like I don't have the energy for that. So if that's the case, then like I need to know that. Yeah, and he's like really young too. He's a lot younger than me. So I'm just like, oh, you're on the right track. Like I'm not even worried about you.
Which is a blessing because we won't even get too far into it, but white gays, I'm just like,
It's hit or miss.
oh, it's hit or
I'm
miss,
really here for
honey.
like I feel like Gen Z is on it though. Like I'm really here for Gen Z.
No, they are. They really
Like
are. They
across the
are.
board, I just really feel like they're on the right side of things, that they just like have a better grasp on just like marginalized groups and what that means and what privilege means and like how to use it.
Yeah, it's
And I
true.
think and
It's
I
true.
find that like across like white people and everybody, like Gen Z, I think is hopefully they'll save the world. I don't know.
I think they will. I think
Cause
they
yeah,
will.
them white gays, they be man. Especially out here. LA is a different breed. LA is like LA white gays are they're a bit much for me. And I'm somebody who's always been around gays all the time my whole life. Like even
Me
in the South,
too.
like Southern
It's
white gays are
okay.
a different type of white
I
gay
was
than a
just
LA
about to
white gay.
say
Cause me and
that.
Southern white gays are very much on the same exact page. Like me and Southern white
Yes.
gays are like we see eye to eye really
We
hard
and you
cause
can
they might as
trust
well be
them.
black being in the South and gay.
Right, you
Like,
know what I'm saying? Like, because you're originally from Texas.
yeah, I'm from Dallas.
Okay, and I'm originally from Memphis, from Tennessee. So that you hit the nail on the head, and I feel like with white gays in the South, you can fucking check them. And
Right,
they're
right.
like,
They're
okay,
not
girl,
sensitive.
like.
They recognize real. They are not sensitive like that. They're like, oh, well, my bad. Moving right along.
Right. Like, let
Like,
me
they don't
move
have to dwell
around.
on it. They don't have to cry about it. They don't have to debate you
Oh.
about it. They're
Oh,
just
so
like, oh,
true.
damn. Whoops.
Child,
And here we go, keeping it
you are.
moving.
Right, you are triggering me because them
Look,
like tears, I cannot.
I always tell people, like, I love, because they're always like, because they're like, oh, you grew up in Texas, like you probably like always hated white people. I was just like, no, girl, I loved white people until I moved to Chicago.
Oh,
Chicago is so segregated
it
that you end up
is.
around white people who have never been around black people or have very limited experience around black people because they haven't had to. Whereas in the South, I feel like we were all together. Like it was very much integrated in Dallas because sports, sports.
Yeah.
You want good sports, then you're gonna be where the niggas at because you're not gonna have a good sports team that don't have any black people on it.
Right.
So all my schools, all the schools I ever went to were very like integrated. I had never experienced being the only black person anywhere until I was in college. And I was like, y'all white people are different because y'all are dumb. Y'all are dumber than the ones in the South. The ones in the South seem to understand things in a way that you don't because you're not around it. And because
Yeah.
they're in close proximity to black people, they're also in close proximity to racists. Like they understand that racism is real. They understand
Yes.
there are hateful people in the world who are taking who they like they see it. And so you don't have to convince them that racism is real. Whereas like
Right.
I spent a lot of college trying to convince people that racism even existed. And they're
Yeah.
like, well, this isn't the South. And I'm like, no, girl, the racism is here. The racism is here. Like
Yes.
in the college, in the institution, in the university, the racism is here. What are you talking about? This is not, you're not removed from this. This is your problem.
That's like because when I moved to San Francisco, I was like, oh, y'all are different. Oh, okay. Y'all are racist. This is like a whole new experience, and it's really hard to get people to see themselves if they their entire lives have believed that they are above regular
Right,
white
that
people
like
in the South.
that racism is a like it's an education issue as in a class
Yes.
issue as opposed to like it's like no, racism is a structural and it's an institutional
Yes.
issue. You cannot educate, you cannot go to college your way out of racism. You can have a
Yes.
PhD and still be racist. There are racist doctors and there are non-racist
Oh,
like
so many.
janitors, you know, like it doesn't your level
Yeah.
of education doesn't signify one, your level of education doesn't tell your level of intellect. Like, let's just be
Right.
real. Like, your
Right.
level of education is very much dependent on how much money you can pay
Right.
and like what family you're born into. And if somebody in your family went to that school beforehand, like Harvard doesn't mean
Yes.
anything to me. Just because you went to Harvard doesn't mean you're smarter than somebody who doesn't go to Harvard.
Right.
There's a lot of dumb
Exactly.
people at Harvard too. There's a lot of racists that came out of Harvard. There's a lot of non-racists that, you know, didn't that dropped out of high school,
Right.
but they went to high
Right.
school with black people, so they're not racist.
Right. I was just about to say that, like, they got their GED, but at the same time, they understand race relations way better than your
Way
ass.
better because they're living in a reality in real life and not like in this privileged white bubble that a lot of these, you know, college educated people have lived in their whole lives and think that that makes them. That's why, like, when you try to correct them and tell them that they're being racist, it's like so hard. They're like brain short circuits because they're like, but I went to college and I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid and Southern. It's like, yeah, girl, you're certainly not Southern because you would never say such ridiculous things.
We would never.
You
Okay.
would never.
So my last question, you've given and dropped a lot of gems during this episode,
Thanks, girl.
but
I'll be high. I'll be high as hell.
I
Just be
know,
high
child, but
talking.
you know what? Them high thoughts will be on a higher plane, period.
Real
'Cause
life. Real life.
you've been giving. So, before we get out of here, I would love if you had any advice for people who are struggling living alone during this pandemic. And you've given a lot of advice, but what would be some of the last things that you would say to people who are struggling living alone during this pandemic?
I would say get into yourself, like straight up, like start with all of the things that you love about yourself. And if you can't come up with a whole bunch of them, then work on like the, maybe those are like your little short-term goals, but also like work on unpacking why you value certain qualities and all of this kind of stuff, because it's not like I've always been like a chubby girl my whole life, but I'm like really into my body right now. And it's not just because I like lost some weight, but it's more of just like about me kind of deciding what characteristics I really like about like my body. And I think with social media, it could be helpful to like really think about what you're consuming and like who you follow and like what the pictures look like. Because if you just follow a bunch of really skinny white blonde girls or something, and you're not a skinny white blonde girl, and you'll never be a skinny white blonde girl, then like maybe that doesn't need to be your ideal of beauty. Like maybe you figure out like what is it about her that you really like? Do you like that she, you know, looks glamorous? Like what does glamour look like on you? Like how can you incorporate more glamour into your life? Or if you like want to be thick or whatever, you like softness, like how do you incorporate like the essence of just like, how do you become more of someone that you want to fall in love with? Like, just fall in love with, use this time to fall in love with yourself. It's so useful. It's so helpful. It keeps you out of trouble when you really authentically, truly love yourself and like stan yourself and continue to work towards, continue to be a better person for yourself.
That's perfect, Asia. And I want to thank you again for coming on the Nuance Podcast. Please, before we get out of here, drop those handles one more time because people need to be following you because not only y'all for real this girl is like this in real life. It ain't a front. This is exactly, she's exactly who she is, no matter where she is. And her Instagram is a perfect reflection for that. And like Asia mentioned earlier, follow people who make you feel good about yourself and who motivate you. And you need to be following Asia. So Asia, drop your handles again for us.
Yeah, so on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at euthanasia, euthanaasia.
All right, perfect. Thank you guys for listening to the Nuance Podcast again. Thank you, Asia.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you again for listening to the Nuance Podcast. I want to thank again my special guest, Asia Lachey. If you guys want to hear more from Asia, you can always, I put a link to her album inside of this episode. So you can always just click that link, go download her music, follow her on Instagram and Twitter. And you can always hit her Cash App. That's $AASIA. $AASIA. Thank you for listening to the Nuance Podcast. I can't wait to see you back here again sometime soon. Bye.